A few days ago, we celebrated the fact that God became one of us, became a human being. When the Word of God, the Word was made flesh and lived among us. And today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. We recognize in this that God took on all aspects of what it means to be human, even to the point of being born into a family with, as we heard in the story, in the gospel story today, with its difficulties, with its highs, and sometimes its struggles. And so I'm going to ask now Kevin Burgess, our seminarian, to give us a reflection on how God wants to be at the heart, the very nucleus of our families.
One of the classes I took in high school was called biology, and that was in grade 11. Well, grade 11, that's in Ontario, but here in Quebec, that's called secondaire 5, I think. And during that class, we had a lot of experiments to do, and me being the eager young scientist that I was going to be, I was really, really excited to look under that microscope, to look under the microscope for the very first time. And what we had to do was we had to look at some plant tissue. And when you look under a microscope, at least a really old one, you have to put the sample between two pieces of glass. And you put it underneath the microscope. And then I looked at the sample for the first time, and it was really, really fascinating. I could see all the little cells, and I could see dots in the middle of each cells that represent that are the nucleus of each cell that has all the genetic information for the cell. And I got really curious. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to see more details. So I zoomed in with the microscope. I zoomed in, I kept zooming in with the lens, and finally I heard a crack. I broke the sample. And I think I can remember that that's the time that I decided that I wouldn't study biology, but that I would study chemistry. Anyway, why I bring up this story is that today's feast, the Feast of the Holy Family, reminded me of a quote from Pope John the 23rd, where he says that the family is the first essential cell of human society. It means that the family is at the very foundation of our society. Just like plants and animals have billions of cells, or made up of billions of cells, if we have healthy cells, we have a healthy body. If we have unhealthy cells, we have an unhealthy body. The same is true for families. If we have healthy families, we'll have a healthy society. And the fact of the matter is, we all come from a family. Whether loving and close or distant and estranged, picture perfect or wildly dysfunctional or somewhere in between, we each have parents, either biological parents or adoptive parents. We have grandparents. Some of us have siblings, cousins. And the same is true for Jesus. Jesus actually had a foster father in Joseph. So at the very foundation of Jesus' life is the fact that he was raised in a family, just like each one of us. As Father Mike mentioned, we celebrated Christmas a few days ago. We celebrated the fact that Jesus was born, the Word was made flesh, that God became a human person. And next weekend, we'll be celebrating Little Christmas. We'll be celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany. That's when Jesus' birth is manifested to the entire world. It's when Jesus appears to the wise men, the Magi, who had followed a star to see the baby Jesus. Like I said, the Epiphany is when Christ's birth is manifested to the entire world. But before that, Christ's birth is manifested to a family, to the Holy Family. That means that God wanted to be part of a family. We say that Jesus was the Son of God, but did he come out of the womb talking, walking, and praying? No, no. Like all of us, he learned to speak through his family. He learned to walk through his family. He learned to pray through his family. It's really easy for us to think of Jesus as in his public ministry, Someone who was kind of acting on his own, doing all of these miracles. He had followers and apostles, of course, but Jesus performed many miracles, like walking on water, restoring sight to the blind, raising the dead. He even saved the entire world from sin and death. But before that, before all these things, he was a baby, he was a child, he was a teenager. His foundation, his roots as a human being are in his family. But relatively little is known about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. For many of those years, though, Jesus would have been completely dependent on others, like we saw in the gospel today. When Joseph had to take his family and flee from Israel and into Egypt because Herod was looking to kill Jesus. Jesus' own safety and his own life were dependent on Joseph's guidance, on his leadership and his attentiveness to the promptings from the angel. And usually when we look to this holy family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we often see them presented as a model for all of us who are part of a family. And it looks kind of like a high ideal for us to live up to. And perhaps almost impossible. Mary is the mother of God. That's what we'll celebrate on Tuesday and Wednesday. And she conceived her son through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pretty impressive. Joseph was the kind of guy who had many visions from angels, and he seemingly dropped everything to follow those visions. And while Jesus, he's the Son of God. So how can we possibly live up to that in our own families? Well, St. Paul today, in our second reading, helps to identify the kind of virtues every family should at least try to strive towards. He mentions compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And he goes on to say to bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. The Holy Family lived these virtues out perfectly as an example to inspire us in our own families. But granted, this can be very difficult. None of us have perfect families. Well, my mom is here. Mine and my family, our family is almost perfect. But we have some relatives we are closer to, and others we try to avoid sometimes. And this reality is all the more evident at Christmas time, when we see so many family gatherings around us, so many advertisements on TV, movies that portray happy families carving turkeys. But even though family life can be difficult, it's what will make us holy. It is how we can make heaven a reality starting here and now. And that's according to the first reading from the book of Sirach. He writes, "Whoever honors their father atones for sins and gains preservation from them. When they pray, they will be heard. Whoever respects their mother is like one who lays up treasure. The person who honors their father will have joy in their own children, and when they pray, they will be heard." But this, of course, is easier said than done. The reality is that many families are broken. Sometimes mothers and fathers are out of the picture. And many families suffer because of alcoholism and abuse of all kinds. But any little effort we make to live out those virtues St. Paul talks about today in our families, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, gratitude, that will help us in our relationship with God. And that effort we make in our families can actually improve our own daily lives and our own level of happiness. Here's a concrete example of how this can happen. Since the start of my time here at St. Ignatius, I've been reading up a lot on church leadership materials. And one of the authors that's been particularly helpful in this field is Kerry Newhoff, and he's the lead pastor of a very large church community. I think it's in Barrie, Ontario. Thousands of people go to church there on Sunday. And one of the topics he addresses is how our ability to lead at work is really dependent, really connected on our ability to lead at home. He says that if you lead well at home, you will lead better at work. That's how our lives can be improved. And this advice isn't just for those who are managers and CEOs of companies, but for all of us. No matter what career we have, we all have the ability to lead in some way. We're all leaders in some part of our lives. Leading at home, though, can actually be more difficult than leading at work. At home, we have to earn the respect of our families, our children, our siblings. But at work, it can be easier to earn that respect based on the degrees we hold and the position we hold. The people at home, though, really know us for who we are. We learn how to lead at home with love. And this is not necessarily the case at work, although it can be. And leading at home doesn't just mean managing the family schedule. It goes deeper than that. Leading at home means teaching virtue. The difference between right and wrong, how to face adversity, and building up relationship skills. So we can ask the question, do we work as much on our marriage or on raising our kids as we work on getting a better job or getting that next promotion at work? In learning to lead out of love at home, we will inevitably lead out of love in other areas of our lives. And that's going to make us better at those things by learning to lead out of love. What we celebrate today, the Feast of the Holy Family, is the fact that Jesus made himself fully human to the point that he experienced everything about humanity, even the ups and downs of family life. Our gospel today even tells us that the Holy Family was a refugee family. And we know that Jesus would have lost his foster father, Joseph, sometime before his public ministry. And so if Jesus was part of a family, it's because families matter and families are important. And today, Jesus wants to encounter us through our families. So let's pray today for our families. Those first essential cells of society. Let's pray for those in our families who have not had this encounter with Jesus, or perhaps do not see the relevance of a baby in a manger for our world today. Perhaps there is someone in our family we have in mind that we need to love more. Someone in our family we have to be patient with just a little more. Or someone in our family we need to forgive, or we need to ask forgiveness. Let's pray for true healing and joy in our families.